Okay, let's do that in English. Damayanti, what was the question?
That here in Mayapur, there can only be Prabhu Pujari. But if we accept the deities as persons, not statues, then isn't it a problem for the gopis that Prabhu is dressing them?
In India, the tradition is that women don't, even Brahmanis, don't do temple worship. They do home worship, home deity worship, but not temple worship. Nakiva mit prakivanyasi shudra keni noi, jay krishna tattva veta shay guru hoi. Actually, this is a material consideration, and even if I describe this further, it'll be clear that it's not right. But still, because it's a tradition, and we don't want to disturb local convention, because by doing so, it may interfere with our preaching. Therefore, Prabhupada also said that in India, women shouldn't do the altar deity worship. They can make garlands. I think they may be able to cook. Certainly they cook sweets. But they shouldn't be visible. And we keep that tradition, just like when Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, because the local tradition demanded that there be all kinds of Brahmins doing yajnas and chanting mantras. So there was the installation ceremony went on for 3 days. But Prabhupada said actually it was not necessary. The only thing that was necessary was devotees chanting Hare Krishna. But otherwise there would have been the locals would have criticized, they would have said that these deities are not properly installed, not bona fide, and then that would have obstructed visitors from coming. So then Prabhupada said, so we should invite them, get them to come. Same thing in Bombay and so on. Obviously in the West, that's not an issue because nobody even knows what deities are. So they don't become concerned about these things. Now, on the other hand, from the deity's point of view, it's not that the gopis are thinking, here's a man and here's a woman. A real pujari should be worshipping Krishna, not based upon his bodily identity, that here I am, I'm a man. We're not men. Gopi bhata padakmayo das das amudasa. If they're advanced, then they will be worshipping the deities from their internal situation, spiritual identity. But generally speaking, for the practicing devotees, then deity worship, it takes place on the platform that everyone is a servant of Krishna. And the deities, whether it's gopis, whether it's Srimati Radharani, whether it's Srila Prabhupada, I can have women dressing Srila Prabhupada. So they identify as servants, and the devotees and the deities identify, oh, here's my servant. So servant and master, it's the prerogative of the servant to serve the master, it's a duty. So that's the principle in which the deities reciprocate. Although no one should be, at least from the theoretical point of view, be thinking, I'm a man, therefore I'm qualified to worship the deities. Anyone who thinks that he's a man is not really qualified to do anything because he's still on the bodily platform. So we shouldn't be thinking I'm a man or I'm a woman. But we do what's favorable for Krishna's service. And so here in India, because of that tradition, so we don't worship like that. And we leave it to the men. Well, ultimately, that doesn't obstruct anyone from engaging in worship within their minds. So anyone can be sitting in a temple room, sitting at home, and they can be offering arti to Radha Madhava, they can be dressing them, they can be doing anything. In your mind, you can do anything. And that is when someone's on the altar, hopefully they're also not just engaging their senses, but they're also engaging their mind in that puja. And so they're absorbed in that type of mentality. They're absorbed in, their minds are absorbed in the service of deities. Anything else?
You mentioned in the last conversation that a person perceives the Nam to the extent of his or her Krishna consciousness. And a pure devotee can perceive the Nam completely. Does this mean that a person who is a pure devotee or has a high level of Krishna consciousness does not experience the inconveniences of the Dham, like the noise, you know, loud music or heat or mosquitoes or whatever it can be?
No. He or she also experiences those, but they also experience them in a different way. They recognize that this is all part of, this is all the mercy of the Dham. That the mosquitoes are also residents of the Dham. Jagannath Das Gaurkishore Das Babaji would say, there are no Muslims here in Navadvip. There are only Dhambasis. And they would relate to everything in a Krishna conscious way. And of course that's when they're externally aware in their external consciousness. Kaviraj Goswami talks about three states of consciousness: internal, external, and transitional, in between the two. So internal consciousness is when you're absorbed in your spiritual identity in the uppercut Dham. And in that case, a person's not aware of what's going on outside, not aware of the techno music and the mosquitoes and any of the other things. That's called samadhi. Externally, they're aware, like I mentioned, but how they relate to those things is different. And they're also inconvenienced, but they're inconvenienced with a different consciousness. And in between, then that's sort of aware of both. So jayajitanam prapadyante, consciousness determines everything. And then what was...
How should we understand that Navadvip Dham is not different from Vrindavan Dham? In a sense, not different, or are there some differences?
There's some differences, but it's the same It's the same spiritual abode, but it's manifesting differently. It's like Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he's manifesting differently. He's also manifesting Srimati Radharani's mood. So similarly, the Dham is one. This is Krishna's home. But it's not different than Vrindavan in terms of spiritual potency. All the places of Vrindavan are also situated here in Navadvip. But they manifest different, and they manifest a different type of potency, and that the prominence of that potency is their merciful nature, their Audarya nature, is what's manifest more here than in Vrindavan. And of course, this is it's more hidden, but all the places there are also here. It's like Godruma is Nandagram, and all of the different islands, all different holy places correspond to different pastime places. But Navadvip in the spiritual world has its eternal identity there also, in this different mode, and Braj has a different mode. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also eternally existing in Goloka, similarly Krishna is also eternally existing. They're one, and they're different. But full manifestation, they're Sadaishvarya Purna Dham, Krishna's original home. Two features of Krishna's original home. We have a paternal home and a maternal home. Hare Krishna.